Hello there, and welcome to Best Bad Movies, the podcast where we take your favorite bad movies and give them the love that we believe that they deserve. Today, I am joined by a very special guest. She is my best Judy. She is my best sis. She is my sis from the exact same miss. It's my sister, Lindsay Cleary Butler. Cleary Butler? I don't know whether to refer to you as Cleary or Butler while you're actually...
My payslip says Cleary Butler, if that helps. That's about
no,
it.
No, it doesn't.
It does. Only because for mortgage reasons and financial reasons.
Ew.
I just decided to kind of keep the maiden name there somewhere.
Ew. No, I know where's Lindsay Cleary. We're both the C's. We're both Sarah C and Lindsay C. Lindsay Cleary and Sarah Cleary. Lindsay is here today to talk about, if you've seen the title, one of the most fucking iconic movies.
This is my favorite.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. I actually forgot how good it was until I saw it. She's All That. I didn't realize until I watched it, first of all, how much this movie had an effect on me.
Yeah.
And also, like, how big it was. I mean, when you think of, like, those super iconic movies from the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
There's like five of them that are just up there, absolute top tier. It's She's All That.
Yeah.
10 Things I Hate About You.
I was
you.
Just going to say that next,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Save the Last Dance.
Oh, yeah.
This one
so
for me.
Reasons, yeah.
I know a personal one for us because I think we had it on DVD. Bring It On.
I never was into that. I don't remember that.
Really?
No, if that was you, that was you. I never.
Maybe it was just me.
Yeah, that was a total you thing.
Oopsies.
Absolutely. Bring It On was never on my radar.
Okay, yeah. Maybe it was just me. And then I can't think of a fifth one, but who cares? I am dressed as Lady Box. I have a pair of dungarees on, which staple for the movie. Maybe this is where I got my poncho on for dungarees. Because I do have, I think, 10 pairs.
Was it dungarees like, or was it an apron?
Oh,
but either way, I think it's the overalls effect.
Yeah, I think this could have been a movie that made me be like, I want to be this person.
Yeah,
I want to look like her. And in my head, I look like her. I am the complete opposite. She's very tiny. And I'd be what people would describe as a strong, broad woman. You know, she's a good, fine, strong woman. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Very well, handsome.
I was just going to say handsome, yeah. When they were going, handsome.
Yeah,
but
I think that's how people would describe. So I am literally the opposite of her. But I think this put a little marker in like my style moment of like, this is what I
but
want
you were
to look
doing
like.
Art in school and everything like that.
I was terrible at it, and it's not like we could get to do the fucking art that they did, like, and dress in the way we'll get into it. Today we're talking about She's All That, released in 1999.
Wow.
Which was 23 years ago. I at the time was 12, so this was like a very formative time in my life. The music was formative, the Spice Girls, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it was, for me, this was a bit of a marker. It was directed by Robert Iscove, and it starred Freddie Prinze Jr., yes. Rachel Lee Cook, mm-hmm. Paul Walker, R.I.P.
Yeah.
Oh. Usher, Kieran Culkin.
Yeah.
And other people. Gabrielle Union. Sorry. Do you know that Little Kim is in this
movie?
I was
just going to say, I found that and I was kind of looking and I was going, I know that face.
Yeah.
But
I knew that face because it's not around anymore. Let's call it a spade.
But I know it in a different context from somewhere. And I was like, where is it? I did have to Google it.
Yeah.
To have a look, and I was going, no shitting way.
She has one line.
She is actually in it like two or three times.
She
I
is.
Saw her at the start and I was like, I don't remember her.
Yeah.
But she does pop in.
Yeah.
But that.
She shows her face and she says one word. Which is Dean. Anyway, so Robert Iscove, who's the director, went on to make a few more rom-coms later on in his career. He didn't have a very big career. We're not talking 10, 20, 30 movies. Okay. We're talking maybe 10 or 12. This movie is an adaptation of the George Bernard Shaw play Pygmalion, which was also adapted into another little movie called My Fair Lady.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, I get that now.
Eliza Doolittle, you know, trying to make her over, make her into a lady. Yeah. Less of a good soundtrack, but you know, whatever. The ironic thing is, another little movie that was released this year was 10 Things I Hate About You, but that was also an adaptation of a William Shakespeare play called The Taming of the Shrew.
I really need to like read up on my Shakespeare and you know, no, George Bond.
We're not doing that.
You know, just to like, so I can know the references. But I mean, yeah,
I don't know what the Taming of the Shrew is about, but I don't like the use of the word shrew because I feel like that's been shady towards women. Yeah. This movie made $103 million worldwide, which is pretty good.
That's good by even today's standards. Yeah.
And a teen movie, which is, let's face it, mostly aimed at girls.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
100%. Yeah. It got a Metacritic score of 51%. Now, technically it's over the 50% mark, but you know what? This is my podcast. And if you don't like it, start your own podcast and we'll fucking go to war about it. So it's still on like the lower end, which think after watching this, I think 50% is a little bit low. I don't know. Maybe they were just putting it up against 10 Things I Hate About You, which also came out that year. But the cast in this movie, like we said, incredible. I think it's almost perfect. I think there's only one person that could be replaceable for me, which is Rachel Lee Cook. You know, I couldn't see any, I don't think I want to see anyone else doing what Freddie Prinze Jr. did. But Rachel Cook, I was like, just couldn't throw anyone in there.
Yeah, I think he could have, but then she's kind of got this, like, I don't know, she kind of had to have this look that she apparently could like transform or whatever. But
oh, we'll talk about that as well.
Yeah, so I liked her in it.
I did like her, yeah.
Because she kind of pulled off that just snotty kind of look as well.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe it's just that she didn't have like the big career afterwards, that like it's a bit harder to like remember her.
Yeah, I don't remember her from a lot. Yeah.
But some of the people who were actually considered for some of the different roles, so the character of Zach Seiler, who was perfectly cast as Freddie Prinze Jr., who could have been in that in an alternative universe, is Josh Hartnett. He was considered for the role.
No, I don't know. He's always been like, no, I don't know.
There's something about him that I don't think. I watched an interview with Freddie Prinze Jr. and he was talking about how he wanted to bring this like kind of more sympathetic softness to him. And I really feel like he did do that well. I didn't think that he was just a total fucking asshole. Even though what he did was an asshole move, I didn't feel like he was a bad person. Whereas with someone like Josh Hartnett, maybe it's that he's too good looking that I don't think I'd have as much sympathy for him.
One of the other movies that I really, really like Josh Hartnett in is it 40 Days and 40 Nights? What's the one where he's got like the sex ban on?
Yeah.
I love him in that. And I just kind of want to wrap him up a little bit. And he's too nice. Yes. He's too nice. And I don't think someone like Josh Hartnett could be friends with a dickhead like Dean.
Okay, we will get to Dean shortly. So, yeah. I have problems.
Yeah.
But some of the actresses that were considered for the role of Lainey Boggs included Mina Savari.
Okay.
Lily Sobieski, who was the main chick in Deep Impact. She was Elijah Wood's little love interest. Yeah. And she did have an interesting look, so I could see that. She does have a very artsy look. Mm-hmm. And Jordana Brewster.
Oh, no.
Fast and Furious with Paul Walker, ended up being his love interest. Now, she does look a lot like Rachel Lee Cook, but
I know, I can't see her with a short haircut anyway, really, to be honest.
Probably not.
I don't know. The whole bit where they, like, you know, just did the transformation and I couldn't see that.
Yeah. Obviously, the main issue in this movie is that they try and take the ugly duckling and turn her into, like, the hot mama. But the problem is the ugly duckling is never ugly to begin with.
Oh, God, no.
And some of the cast, the directors and the producers have come out and said, like, listen, this is Hollywood. They just won't let us cast somebody, like, you know, conventionally, like, not Hollywood level attractive. Mm. You just can't do it, you know. So we had to kind of, like, make do with what we had, you know,
make
in this
do
fucking absolute stunner, like, absolute fucking bombshell, and do the whole Clark Kent thing of, like, without your glasses, you were a different person.
That's
so I understand that now.
It's a serious bone of contention I have with this movie anyway, but
Hollywood was
a
much different place back then, because in case anyone doesn't know, this movie was produced by the fucking Weinsteins.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I
that
saw that
says
flash
enough.
Up on the credits and I went, well,
we all know that Harvey Weinstein isn't going to have any fucking mud goblin in the main role. Like, he was going to have someone
sure
that he thought that he'd have a chance of coming up and giving him a fucking dirty massage.
Oh, God.
So the only other issue that I had with the casting of this movie is that these high school men are clearly men. Yeah. Like, my God. Freddie Prinze Jr. was 23 when they made this movie and Paul Walker was 26 and they're meant to be 17
and 18. I think 18 as well.
Yeah.
I think there was one reference that they are 18. Yeah. But...
Rachel Leigh Cook was 20 and she's quite petite and she's got very dainty features.
That could be fine.
So she can pass. Like the girl, I don't know if you're watching House of the Dragon, the girl who's playing the young Rhaenyra, she's 22. Okay. But I fully was like, this is a 14-year-old girl. Like, she looks incredibly young. Paul Walker looks like he actually drove off the set of the Fast and the Furious.
He is not changed.
Undercover cop in a gender reverse, never been kissed type situation.
Absolutely, like 21 Jump Street.
Oh my God.
Situation going on there.
Yeah.
Side note that is not related to this movie, but have you seen that article about, is it Zoe Saldana and this new series she's in where she's 44 playing a woman half her age in college or something like that. So, yeah. But people believe it, so, you know, they're just continuing the trend, really, that was started this long ago, but she's
Yeah,
I know.
You know, young hot actresses need a break in Hollywood. They really need to just be given a chance. It's all the women over 40 who are getting all the good roles, like.
And all the good surgery.
So, another fact about this is that R. Lee Fleming Jr., is officially credited as the sole screenwriter of the film in the credits. Okay. However, in a 2002 interview, someone else stated that he polished the screenplay. Oh. And this was also confirmed in the film's audio commentary by the director Robert Discoff. And that person was M. Night Shyamalan.
Stop.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh my God.
Said in 2013, rather than simply polishing it, he fucking ghost wrote this film.
I don't believe that now. I mean...
Well, it'll be a good twist. Just,
yeah. In true M. Night Shyamalan.
Well, no, the director and the one of the movie producers both came out and said that he did like edits. He kind of polished the screenplay. Whereas Shyamalan said that he fully like ghost wrote it. The director attributed the performance art piece and the hacky sack sequence to Shyamalan, which I'm like, yeah, fully on board with. That was a gas scene. Oh, did not know what was happening.
Absolutely.
Made me understand what a hacky sack was, though. But Fleming attributed the line, am I a fucking bet, to Shyamalan as well.
That was actually one of my favourite lines because she swore, like properly swore. And
yeah.
Like,
yeah. A lot of times these movies usually got one F word in order to like... stop them from getting like a worse rating. But there's a lot of pop culture references that they attributed to the other writer, Fleming. So Lainey Boggs was named after two characters played by Winona Ryder, which was Kim Boggs from Edward Scissorhands and Lainey Pierce from Reality Bites. And I don't know what that is. But then Zach and Taylor were also named after two of the members of Hanson. And in the movie, there is actually a picture of Taylor with Hanson, which is gas. And now we are about to move in to the entire plot. So if you have not seen this movie, girl, you're on your own at this stage. Everyone has seen this film. If you haven't seen this film,
we're not putting a spoiler alert out there because tough shit. Yeah, there should be enough out there.
We're doing the entire plot. And if you haven't seen this film at this stage now, it's your own fault. Yeah. It is, yeah. You've had a horrible childhood. I'm just kidding, you probably haven't. This movie, when I was watching this movie, at first I was like, this movie will be like hella problematic now. I don't know if it actually will be. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I have seen much worse. Yeah. Very offensive. Aged like absolute fucking milk. Yeah. Rush Hour, I'm looking at you. I love those movies. And I watched them back recently and I was like, ooh, most of this is not okay.
No, I think this one, there's a couple of stuff in it that you kind of go...
Bit rude.
Rude. Like my daughter would say, kind of, rude. But nothing that you would kind of go, I'm turning this off. This is like not okay.
Yeah. And I know like the idea of the bet and stuff like that. Everyone's like, oh, that's so terrible and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? People are shitty and this would actually happen, you know, in certain places because kids are kids and people are awful. So,
yeah.
And also Harvey Weinstein. So, all of it's over now, overshadowed by the fact that Harvey Weinstein's name is on this movie. This movie opens to bubble credits. Do you remember back in the day when credits used to be giant like bubbles and inflatable words?
Yeah, that is just like pop all over the screen. That was
This is what will like date these movies as to like
the graphics.
This is a certain period of time.
Yeah, it's like if you saw someone using word art now and Microsoft Word art on something, it's like
or the font Papyrus. So the opening credit is just laying the foundation of who our main chick is. there's art, there's paintbrushes, there's mess, there's drugs, there's glasses, there's dungarees, there's clearly angst, there's a bit of a rock music in the background. This is Lainey Boggs. Oh, this just, name.
Where, I mean, I know, I get it, but there any other fucking surname.
I know.
You know, as in, I know they're trying to make a point that yeah. she's a bit nerdy or whatever it is, but come on, like, yeah. Jesus.
This is one of the names that I always had in my little pocket when I talk about movies trying to tell us who a character is by giving them that name.
Yeah.
Of like Lainey Boggs, she's a bit messy, she's mm-hmm. a bit mud, you know, she lives in a fucking bog, like, you know, she's basically a human
wart.
It's
just trying to conjure up that imagery, like when you hear yeah. Lainey Boggs,
yeah.
you know, what kind of like face she kind of yeah. like, appears in your head.
Yeah. There's another example.
She just isn't, the casting just got that wrong.
They really did. There's another like example that I'd use is in Pirates of the Caribbean, Elizabeth Swann.
Oh yeah.
Like she's very graceful. Yeah. She's delicate. There's also in the Catwoman movie with Halle Berry.
Oh.
She goes to see this magical witch woman to tell her about her cat powers. And this witch woman's name is Ophelia Powers. Feel your powers with the Ophelia powers. I'm just like, lads. So yeah, so this is Lainey Boggs. Like Zach Seiler, I was like, is there, you know, maybe Zach is just like such a Zach Morris, that kind yeah, of like popular yeah. guy. But Seiler, I was like, oh, I don't really get it. But Lainey Boggs, I was like, shut the fuck up. They clearly try to like ugly her up as much as they can. And it is, they really do the least. That, no, yeah. like, I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. They just gave her a low ponytail. Mm-hmm. She's got glasses on.
Mm. Yeah, which I take massive offense with as a glasses wearer. Girl. Just the whole issue about.
I used to stare into the sun in the hopes that my eyes would get damaged enough that I could wear glasses. Seriously? All I wanted when I was in school was glasses, a cast, and train tracks.
No.
It's
no.
just because I never had them.
I had glasses from 10. And I, can I tell you, just like, I mean, at the age of 10, the glasses I had were not cool. They were just not
oh, yeah.
anyway as like cool as if my kids had to get glasses yeah. now where they're so, no.
Rachel Lee Cook said that she had a unibrow in this movie. Bitch, where?
That's, I'm definitely bringing yeah. that one up.
Tell me, what do you think is worse, right? Having overplucked your eyebrows and, you know, having that now on your face, or seeing younger generations come up and starting to overpluck their eyebrows to be on trend?
Oh, fuck them. Leave them. Leave them learn. I'm sorry. But if they are getting away with the, you know, the blue mascara for your hair and everything like that, no, they need some
They really
kind
didn't
of
have to. A lot of them didn't have yeah. to go through a lot of
I
the
think
awkward phases.
If they're stupid enough to not see any of our pictures, well, not that there aren't pictures of us, thank mm-hmm. God, but celebrities, and see how stupid everybody looked, and they're still continuing to do it, then that's their own fault.
I know a lot of Gen Z at the minute are kind of idolizing a lot of the stuff that everyone was wearing in the 90s. What people have to remember is that not everyone was wearing that stuff in the 90s.
No.
Because most people weren't able to, because the 90s was incredibly fatphobic, and yeah. it was just all like, it is literally, the movement was called heroin chic.
Yeah,
think of that, like, and if you did not have that bod, you were not wearing those fucking clothes.
No.
And we
were not wearing those clothes in the 90s.
I was not.
Not from the movie. Like, we weren't
in
those
kind of
stuff.
I was wearing black rip-offs and a yellow fleece jumper for yeah. 6 years. That's what I was wearing.
By the time this came out in 99, we were just coming out of shell suits and woolly jumpers. Like,
yeah.
You know, so.
100%. So we've been introduced to Lainey Boggs, and they let us know very quickly that she's not like other girls. She knows about the fucking news.
Yes.
She goes in to wake up her little brother, and she's like, don't you know the people in such and such a country are already awake and making jeans by now? And
yes.
I'm like, girl. So then we meet our character coming up in his disgusting yellow SUV. I don't know if it's like a fucking dune buggy or what. Mr. Prez himself.
Prez, yes.
Zach Seiler, a.k.a. Freddie Prinze Jr., a.k.a. everyone's crush in the 90s.
Yes.
Lesbians had a crush on Freddie Prinze Jr.
He
was so
could
hot.
Not.
Like, oh my God. He was hot. He was sweet. He was dating Buffy at the time. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mr. Prez himself is walking through the school, and we meet his best friend, Dean. And obviously, rest in peace, Paul Walker.
Yeah.
This character is played by Paul Walker. And I did see Freddie Prinze Jr. and Rachel Lee Cook talking very, very kindly about them when they were doing interviews last year for He's All That. So then we have Gabrielle Union and Lil Kim Rock Up, like, again, serious names in this movie. Yes. And we're introduced to Zach's girlfriend, Taylor Vaughn, who walks up to them and says, "Hey, party people." And I was like, is this like, I didn't think cool people ever said "hey, party people." I thought, like, people said that to make fun of cool people or sad people. But she comes up and she's rocking these, like, full on late 90s, early 2000s clothes, which usually consisted of, like, a boob tube or a string vest with a cardigan over it and a weirdly long midi skirt and, like, platform flip flops and a fluffy handbag.
The midi skirts, like, you know, and they're trying to walk fast in their heels. And it's like, no.
Yeah. No. Absolutely not. So Taylor breaks it to Zach that she wants to break up with him. She's met someone on spring break. He's a star of the real world. His name is Barack Hudson. Right. And I thought this scene was really cool because in the scene when she's explained to him why she wants to break up with him, they're in the memory of her at spring break. And I just thought that this was, like, an interesting, like, oh, this is outside the regular formula. This is kind of cool.
But if you missed it, where they cut to that.
Yeah.
Then you've no clue what's going on. Yeah. Like, where the hell did this come out of? Like,
when did we get to spring break? There's only 8 weeks left in school. Yeah, like,
is this
they
a
spring break
or whatever? Yeah. Also, like, the way he didn't pick up on the fact that she was dumping him, the fact that she did sideswipe him with the after I coat mouth. Aside from that, like, sideswipe, now then she has broken the news to him. Yeah. And we are now in the middle of a flashback.
Yeah, we're in the middle of a flashback. It's spring break. She hooks up with Brock Hudson. They both get tattoos, but they're not matching because his one's of himself.
A pretty piss poor fucking caricature, can I just say?
Oh my God. I have to say now, Matthew Lillard has a tattoo of himself and it is a fucking disgrace. But Matthew Lillard, who...
Oh my God.
TikTok is having a little crush moment on, like, early 2000s Matthew Lillard now because he was...
I love him in this. He is one of my... favorites.
He is hysterical in this movie. He steals every scene that he's in.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to be every douchebag dickhead actor that I've ever seen walking down the fucking street in LA.
And that's why we love him for it.
Oh, and he did it to perfection, lads. Yeah. There's a dance scene in the middle of this. Oh, I just, I'll put a little clip of it up on Instagram. You should go and have a look at it. He is so funny. Now, even though Taylor has fully slept with this man, broken up with her boyfriend, and been like, "I'm now with this fella that I cheated on you with," she's like, "But we're still going to go to prom together because, like, duh, the prom king and queen have to go together." Now, again, this, grown up in an Irish all-girl Catholic school, this idea of prom and a lot of stuff in this movie is completely alien. It's just the stuff you'd see in Saved by the Bell. I would actually really appreciate it if there was someone from America listening to this, which is highly unlikely. Please tell me in the comments on the Instagram, does most of this stuff actually happen? Because, you know, the campaigns for prom king and queen, the outfits that they wear, the fucking cars that they drive.
You get.
Oh, stop.
Major swag they were giving out in this one.
So then we cut to Lainey's art class. Lainey's letting her art teacher know that her art has meaning. She's not like other artists. And she's not like other girls.
And the teacher is not like other art teachers.
Oh, she's
not. Like, I would have loved to see her, like, you know, in a cardigan and slacks or something like that.
Oh my God,
But this whole, you know, carrying a feather and, you know, like the turban and the long flowy stuff and very kind of artistic flow.
Oh yeah, these people are like, we are the art.
Yeah, they're not Irish school art teachers.
Oh my God, they're absolutely not. No, 100%. Nothing about this is Irish whatsoever. So Lainey's letting her know that her drawings are like rooted in the pain of the riots in Mogadishu, but her art teacher is like, "Where's you in this picture? I don't know who we are from this. I wanted to be this person. I wanted to be this art girl." And I actually wrote down in my notes, "I would have cut off my leg to be one of these people." And then I immediately regretted writing that with what happens next, which is that two girls come up to Lainey and tell her that they think that, like, no one in the school appreciates the art that she does. Mm-hmm. And she's just like other great artists, you know, she's just not appreciated in her time.
No.
But a lot of their art is more appreciated posthumously. And they tell her that she should kill herself. Jesus Christ. Zach is walking around the school. He's so bummed out. He's so pissed off about Taylor dumping him. And here we get the plot of the movie. The root, the heart of the movie. So he's giving it the big, like, "Oh, she listen, who cares? I can have anyone in the school. I can have anyone in the school if I wanted to. And I can make a fucking prom queen as well." And his friends...
2,000 girls.
Oh my God. There's like 2,000 girls in the school. I can pick any of them. And his friend's like, "Hang on now a second. Listen, this is Taylor Vaughn we're talking about now. This isn't just any old girl. Mm-hmm. She's a level above. She's got this, she's got that, she's got it all. And Zach's like, no, she's not. It's just all bravado. Yeah. And like fear. It's like all an illusion. And you can take any girl in school, you give her the right look, you give her the right girl. Nope. You give her the right look, you give her the right boy on her arm, and bam, there she's prom go. Queen.
Yeah. So it's just that easy.
Oh, it's just that easy. Like, you know, especially when you hear the way they fucking talk about these women oh, now in a second. So Dean proposes a bet.
Yeah.
And he says he'll pick the girl and Zach has 6 weeks to make her over and make her into prom queen. There doesn't seem to be anything in it to win for Zach except the glory, because they don't lay out like, oh, well, Dean, if you lose and I do make her prom queen, then you have to do this, that, and the other. So clearly this is just like all ego and glory.
Oh, yeah. Just bragging rights.
Fully bragging rights.
Yeah.
And then comes the scene where they're like picking out the girls and picking out shopping. The bet. And I'm just like, are you...
It's the way they talk. What was it? I know there was a word he used.
Yeah. Out of the corner of their eye is Lainey Boggs. Womp, womp.
Oh, that walk.
And then Freddie Prinze Jr. says, and I'm going to quote this now because I was like, I need to put the subtitles on and write down every fucking word of this. Fat I can handle. Weird boobs, bad personality, maybe some sort of fungus. But scary and inaccessible is another story. And I was like, they think this girl is a fucking troglodyte because she doesn't scary. Swoon at his feet.
Scary is not a write-off. You can't write off scary. Scary is not scary. Scary, like Lainey Boggs scary, is just her not putting up with her bullshit.
Absolutely. And she's not scary because she doesn't go around pushing people. Exactly. Like, she's not like scary as in a bully. No. She's literally scary to them. Because she comes across as mean.
Yeah.
And the reason she comes across as mean is because she's not smiling.
Oh, she's not
and looking the way they look. Now, what this really reminds me of, and it's actually come up recently, is Doja Cat. Doja Cat shaved her head recently.
Okay.
People had a lot to say about it. She shaved her head and she bleached her eyebrows. And everyone was critiquing her and criticizing her in her comments. And she came out and she was like, do you know what this is now? All of this shit that you're giving me is because to you, now I'm unfuckable. And you just like, you can't, I don't look like the way her to look. Exactly. Yeah. It's this idea that like, you don't look like I could approach you and easily bed you. So you are now scary. And I'm just like, this I had an issue with now. Not a lot, but this I did.
Yeah.
So Zach goes over to Lainey. He says hi and she just completely shrugs him off. She's just like, bye.
Chances with them.
No, she's an absolute queen. Mm-hmm. Also, by the way, the monster that I'm drinking is really kicking in. I feel like there's, like I said before, I feel like there's tiny hammers in my veins and I'm just going to explode out of my skin. So I am sorry if I start like talking quickly.
You're just going to match me anyway. I talk very fast.
Yeah.
I do, naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're just picking
just
up.
Just matching tempo, energy, really. You know. Yeah, yeah, making sure that. Sure also, I wonder will people be able to differentiate our voices? A lot of people in work say that we, as sisters, really don't look the same, but we have the exact same voice.
Yeah.
So this podcast is going to be very interesting.
Yeah. The same laugh. Let's just make a word and just kind of go, ooh.
Yeah.
Wood.
Yeah. So we then cut to Zach's home. He's at home with his absolute legend of a sister, Anna Paquin, playing Mackenzie.
Yeah.
And she gives him actual good advice, which shows how fucking dense these men are. That she's probably 15 years old. And she's like, just ask her questions. And then Zach's parents come home and we realise that his dad is like one of those dads. He just wants his son to be going to this prestigious college, Dartmouth. Where he went and that he doesn't have as much of an interest. He's just let me know when you get into Dartmouth. Yeah. He's like, oh yeah, my letters are there. They're not here yet. They're not here yet. Yeah.
This is where we get to see the pressures that Zach is starting to kind of feel like he's under there at this point.
Yes. Which I thought was nice that they gave him a backstory
kind of underlying...
fleshed out his character a bit as to like why he kind of is the way he is, which is always nice, especially in teen movies, because teen movies can get very lazy in their writing and just make people very one-dimensional. Like, I'm a jock.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, it's kind of nice. I think that's probably, like, one of the things that people liked about Zach was that, you know, he wasn't the dumb jock.
Yeah.
That he was just a big muscly guy. It was like, no.
Seemed to have a bit of a sensitive side.
He was well-rounded. Yeah, he was good. Well, not well-rounded, because obviously he was totally fucking oblivious when it came to women.
Yes, but listen, that's he was just good at school, teenagers.
He was good at sports.
He seemed kind.
He didn't seem like the bully jock. Yes,
he wasn't Dean.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Total exclusion kind of zone there, like with Girls for Him.
But you'd expect the most popular man in the school to be Dean. But you're happy that it's someone like Zach because he seems kind of nice. Even and though his girlfriend's an absolute fucking weapon. Like, she's insane. So we're back with Lainey. She works in a fast food restaurant. In a kebab kind of fast food restaurant.
It's like a taco.
It's like, like a falafel kind of kebab.
Yes. Actually, on her head. Falafel is right. Because there's a... Yeah, there's a reference to that later.
Yes, there is. Yeah, she does have an interaction with an old man where he just says, supersize my balls. But I don't know. I've seen this again. I don't know if it's just TV shows or whether it's real, but Americans in uniforms where they have to wear like really ridiculous costumes, like hot dogs on your head or kebab things on your head. I've no idea. Mm-hmm. But Zach comes in anyway. And he tells her he wants to talk to her about art. Oh, yeah, let's talk about art. And she hella puts herself down by saying, like, is this a dork outreach program? And
I was
like,
bitch, I'm not smart. I can't. Yeah, I can't tutor you.
And he's like, bitch, I'm smart. I'm the smart one. Don't fucking judge me. Yeah. Like. And her best friend, her male best friend, Jesse Jackson, who is sitting in the restaurant, says, oh, I have a ticket to your performance art show tonight. You can take it and go together. And Lainey reluctantly agrees. Now, Lindsay looks like she has something to say.
I do have something to say. First of all, because I forgot to say it at the start, so this is all kind of linked back. It's questionable how, like, Lainey treats Jesse. Say that because...
Oh my God, she snatches a bar.
She catches him and, like, shoves him back. And she was like, I kicked your ass in, like, preschool. I will kick your ass again.
Yeah.
You know, and she also, all he was doing was trying to, like, apparently help her. But... at the start of the movie, when we first see her interacting with Jesse, she comes along and he's eating something. And she's like, I thought you were going to lose 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And it's like totally, I won't say fat shaming him because he's her best friend. But like there's this comment and I was going, like just, you know.
And he's not massively overweight or anything like that.
To her, oh God, look, I just want to drop before prom or whatever. I just had an issue with the way she just like grabbed him and pulled him and was like, I'll kick your ass.
It's a very brother-sister relationship. And I have to say, I did make a note of it later on down the line that I really did like the idea that she had a male best friend who there was absolutely no kind of like, ooh, he's going to be jealous. Yes, or, ooh, is he gay? Like, he's not gay. We see him getting on with Zach's sister, Mackenzie, at the end of the night, at the end of the prom.
He's just there like keeping her company.
Yeah.
Because it's probably like a shit job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we go to the performance art show and this is so, hilarious. It's this, you know, people up on stage, it's like weird projections on screen and people in sheets just writhing around and like music that's like kind of electronic but also kind of heartbeats. It's what you'd imagine like people who are 17 and doing art really think is like so profound.
Yes.
In like downtown LA, they're like, I am art. So Lainey has... now drop Zach in it, which I don't know if I thought this was mean or maybe she was doing this as like a defense mechanism because she's like, well, if something's going on here, I'm gonna fucking get him before he gets me. And she gets Mitch to call Zach up on stage as a performer. She hella puts him on the spot, but he fucking knocks this out of the park by whipping out his hacky sack and starting to, you know, tap it around and like doing all these moves. He's like, can't drop it. Come on, Zach.
It's like deep gotta slam poetry going. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, which just comes out of nowhere.
Fully reminded me, and I was cracking up, of that scene with Jonah Hill in 22 Jump Street. God, where he was like, Chrissy.
Yeah, that was like the original.
Jesus died for our sin, the us. Yeah. Oh, it just absolutely cracked me up.
But if they are all around the same age, like what he was saying in it is basically, you know, you have to kind of keep going and do all this and the pressures and the kind of probably opened up to her or kind of made her realize,
absolutely,
okay, well look, he's not like, he doesn't have everything going from the whole time.
Yeah,
he still feels the pressure everyone else does about going to college and pressure from the parents.
He also did the performance art. He got in and he wasn't just like, oh fuck this, I'm off, like, you know, he was like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking make an effort and do it. The stuff that he said seemed to be tapping into something real that was inside of him, and she was able to see and she was like, oh whoa, okay, cool, this guy's cool,
like he's deeper than I thought, you know.
But then they go outside and it all absolutely flips around because they leave the club. And Zach asks her, does she ever think about wearing contacts? And she's like, not really. I just don't like him, like, touching my eyes. And he goes up and he kind of, like, touches her glasses. And she fucking loses it. And she absolutely storms. But I always have to keep remembering that he's doing this out of a place of fooling her. So I'm like, yeah. So the following day, this is so weird. The following day, Zach shows up at Lainey's house. And for some reason, talks to her father and her brother like as if they've been dating for 6 months.
Yeah.
And his brother's like, come on, Zach, let's go play Sega. And I'm like, when did this happen?
Yeah, no, never.
When did they form this bonding relationship? How do they know him?
Yeah, I don't know when the Oomph of the Assignment, which I love Karen Collins company, they hadn't met before then.
The only interaction we'd seen is when Zach went up to Lainey first at the school and she stormed off. And he said to her brother, like, hi, like, John. And he's like, the little brother's like, hi. And she's like, that's not your fucking name. Yeah. And he's like, he knows my name. And that's it, like. So she agrees to go to the beach with Zach. And
under immense pressure, can I say.
So all of Zach's friends show up by pure coincidence. Amazing. Organized by Dean. Mm-hmm. And now, I did notice that Preston, who is the third friend, so there's Zach, Dean, and Preston. Preston doesn't seem to be on board with the bet, and I'm on Preston's side.
He was trying to talk him out of it, at the start. He was like, no, guys, look, don't do this.
And he comes up and he's like, hey, Lainey, do you want to play some volleyball? And one of the other girls is like, no, she doesn't. And he's like, is your fucking name Lainey? No, it's not. And I'm like, yeah, Preston, I'm with you on this. Yeah. This is pretty cool.
He hasn't wrote her off as kind of this is just a pity party, really.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we're full team Preston here. So everyone starts playing volleyball, including Lainey, which is, you know.
Oh, yeah. But she got up. She was just like.
She did, but she did it out of defiance because one of the girls was like, you run like a girl. And she's like, I am a girl. And then they play my absolute favorite song from this whole soundtrack. I added it to my Spotify playlist. I haven't heard it in so long. I'm going to put in a clip of it now. It's called Sugar by Stretch Princess. So the gang invite Lainey to a house party in Preston's house. Lainey, of course, says no. She's not going to the house party. You know, she has to. I gotta clean my house.
Yes.
And later on, when she's on the phone with Jesse, there's a knock on the door, and it's Zach, and he's like, oh, I know you said you were cleaning the house, so here you go. And the entire fucking soccer team comes in.
What else
and
they
starts
got
cleaning
to
her house. But also, bitch, the woman said no. Also, like, if I
he has an issue with her scene.
And then she's like, oh, I've got nothing to wear. And he's like, bang, here's a dress.
Knew your size.
No picked problem. Out your dress, made it fucking short in the titty and short in the leg as well.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, I don't know how to style it. And he's like, bang, here's my sister to un-uglify. This cracked me up. Lainey is upstairs in the bathroom with Mackenzie, who's Zach's sister. Mm-hmm. And she's making her over, you know, she's doing her makeup and things like that. And she asks her, like, you know, why don't you ever wear makeup? And she really, like, Lainey opens up. We realise that Lainey's a closed book. That's mm-hmm. very clear. It's made very clear. It's a really strong theme throughout the whole movie that she doesn't open up to people. Yeah. And she opens up to Mackenzie and says that she never wears makeup because her mother passed away when she was really small and when Simon was just a baby. And Mackenzie turns around and is like, wow, sorry. Anyway, listen, your hair is really shit. Like, so I think what we're going to do is go. She doesn't say like, wow, that must have been really hard. She's like, wow, anyway, this coif that you've got. I'm just like, Jesus, give her a fucking second to tell you that her mother died. My God.
She can't relate. That's why. Instead, she's telling her that she should be plucking her eyebrows.
Yes.
Better. But it's enough that Lainey allows now the next step in the makeover process.
Absolutely. She lets her cut off all her hair and somehow managed to style it very well. But then we get the most iconic scene in the entire movie. Zach is sitting downstairs with her little brother Simon. They're just chatting away very gently in the background. Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer.
This
starts to gently just trickle in the background.
This song made my teenage years.
Ooh, yeah.
I still have it on my playlist. Mm-hmm. I listen to it.
Yep.
This is iconic for me.
Yeah.
I wanted this at my wedding.
Yeah.
I think I got my way. I can't remember.
A lot of us were like, in the narration in our own heads of like, I'm the main character. Oh God, my life is a movie. This was going to be like played over the trailer.
Oh, listen, the hair extensions were gone on Lainey. She was just bad hair extensions, can I just say?
Yeah. Side note. She comes down the stairs in these red platform heels, which I will be okay with that because I will take a 5-inch platform heel over a 2-inch stiletto any day.
Absolutely.
And she's this little short red dress and short red hair, and most importantly, she's got no glasses, and oh my God, she's finally beautiful. But then she trips in the last step, and what I wouldn't have done to bin her and Freddie Prinze Jr. catching me, and I could just like, you know, rub my face on his pecs or something.
Just letting us know that while the transformation may not happen for us, I may not transform us like it did with Lainey,
yes,
she's still relatable because she's still a little bit clumsy.
Yeah. So they get to the party and Dean asks Zach if he's developing feelings for her, but he's like, no, I haven't. It's still just a bet. It's absolutely just a bet, but we all know different.
Yeah.
So Lainey walks into the bathroom where one of those mean girls who told her to kill herself is puking, and Lainey passes her a tissue to wipe her mouth. And she's like, how does it feel to know that like I'm a rich girl who got her first choice of art school and you're basically cleaning up my puke? And then she passes out and I'm like, girl, your head's so far in the toilet, you're washing your hair with shit, like. But Lainey proves that she's still Lainey inside.
Oh,
and she's such a badass. She's got that fiery Lainey spirit, that bog spirit in her.
Yeah.
And she uses your woman's makeup to paint her face to look like a clown while she's passed out, and she is a fucking clown.
I remember
she's pretty
seeing
bad.
That going, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Boss move.
Yeah.
So Taylor is there with Brock Hudson and he's making a fool of himself, making the living room into a makeshift dance floor, and he does this fucking dance. I'll put it up on the Instagram.
This is my, apart from the reveal scene, this scene is one of my absolute favourites for loads of reasons.
Yeah, it's
between
so funny.
The dancing and like the music that kind of was chosen for it.
Yeah.
And just the overall kind of effect that it had.
Yeah. He steals all these scenes that he's in.
It really reminded me actually of American Pie, The Wedding. You know when Stifler was doing the dance off?
Yes.
And it's that really cheesy kind of dancing. That's, I was watching it back and I was like, that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
But they, like, whoever, which one, everyone was doing it first.
Yeah.
But it was just so good.
It was
the
so good. It was so funny.
And the pointing
funny
at the biceps at his tattoo. And it's like, give it to me. Give it to me. And he's just like doing this.
He just pulls it off so well. Like, he's really got his tongue firmly in his cheek through this whole thing. Like, you're not just like, this guy's a douchebag. You're like, this is fucking hilarious. This guy's really funny.
Oh.
But again, the dance scene goes on for longer than it should. By the end, I was like, okay, we get it. Like, you're funny. But like, man. So Taylor spots Lainey and she pours a drink on her and makes Lainey cry and run up the stairs like as if
she's one
fucking peg leg. She runs outside anyway and falls again.
Alas.
Zach goes after her and tries to comfort her, and he says what I find is actually one of the most profound lines in the entire movie. I think it is a really good life lesson, and I think it's very easily missed if you don't hear it, which is that when you open yourself up to people, sometimes you let the bad in as well as the good.
Yeah, I thought that
when
was
you're
good.
So she's just like, I just want to go home. I wouldn't blame her. 90% of the people in that house are absolute fucking rats. So when they get back to school the next day or the next week or whatever it was, Lainey's like really down in the dumps. But people are coming up to her and they're like, hey, way to go, Lainey. So what happened was she realizes that someone has nominated her for prom queen and that a lot of people are really fucking on board with the idea of her being prom queen. Who nominated her?
But those already made posters 2 days already after it. Like, they're all carrying around signs at that stage.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck? Where did this movement start? Just because, what, she cried in front of Taylor?
Yeah.
This is massive, like, pity thing happened.
I don't even know if it's that. I think they're just like, wow, Taylor is such a cunt. I'd actually rather vote for
anybody else.
Like Donald Trump. Yeah, she's the Donald Trump of that school.
You are fake news.
So we find out that Brock has broken up with Taylor because she pages all her girlfriends to come around. And to this day, it just reminds me, I still don't know how pagers work. I never knew how pagers worked. I don't know how they work or what happens, because some pagers make it seem like a number just flashes up and you ring that number. But then some people look at their pagers and they're like, my wife has gone into labor. She's in room 7 of da da da. And it's like as if they're getting full text messages.
I'm not sure. Like, I mean, when Mom had one.
Did Mom have a pager?
Yes, when they first came out, Dad got Mom a pager. And then it was, but I think it was just, you could just dial the number, and it was an 088 number.
Oh, sure, do you remember 088?
Yeah. But I think it was just to dial it. But I don't know whether could you use, like, you know, like you would on a text, the you know, press 7-4 times for the letter X, and like type out a message to send, or whether there was just pre-written kind of codes that you could, you know, press 1-4, are you on the way home?
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
so pagers, the mystery still remains.
I know, that was no help. That was a waste of time.
We're going to cut this in the podcast. So back in the locker room, Dean tells Zach that he's like not on his soccer game. Like, your head's not in the game. Mm-hmm. And if it's because of him and Lainey, does Zach mind if like he has a go? And I was like, I want this locker room bombed at this point. Yeah. I just want to drop a fucking airstrike on these guys.
It's so uncommon that I thought, yeah.
Yeah. So they scuffle and Dean says that like, this is a bet you're going to lose. So Zach goes to Lainey's house to talk to her. I don't know if he's going to reveal the bet or what's going on, but he just goes to talk to her and he sees the artwork of her mom she's been working on. And when Zach says to her that her mother is beautiful, Lainey says, yeah, well, not everything is hereditary. This is a moment that I actually also really liked and I thought was really different in the movie, because obviously she's a beautiful girl and I'm someone who struggles with like self-image issues. And I thought it was really nice that they took a moment to recognize that sometimes people don't see the beauty in themselves that even other people see, even when they're obviously gorgeous. So it was just nice to take a moment to like recognize the feelings that quite often a lot of girls have,
and
a lot
of women have.
Definitely fellas have it as well, and a lot of boys have it. I think it's just especially a much larger where,
like,
pressure.
The imagery was such like a huge thing, and how they looked and who they wanted to be and who they wanted to date, and every girl wants to be her, you know, Taylor and all that. And then there's just Lainey kind of going, okay, well, I'm just going to do my own little thing in the corner, and I'm not really bothered if anybody looks, but I'm not expecting anybody to look anyway.
Yeah. So I just thought that was a really nice little moment that slipped in there that I caught, and I was like, that's nice. So in the basement, her and Zach share some harsh truths, and he opens up and tells her about the pressure that he feels from his dad about going to Dartmouth, and that like it's obviously his dad's dream and it's not his dream. And they have this tender moment where obviously both of them have kind of opened up and been vulnerable, and they get close and they're about to share a tender kiss, but she makes a joke about like, oh, you're not just doing this to get my prom vote, are you? And then he just full of guilt runs off. She's like, what the fuck is going on? So we then get a scene where Zach, and again, I thought this was a really interesting scene. Zach is playing out this existential crisis that he's having as a scene from the real world.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. This kind of threw me when it kind of came in. I was like, wait, what? What the fuck?
Yeah. And then I was like, is he on this TV show?
Yeah.
I just thought it was like a nice break, you know, something different thrown in again of like how he's kind of processing it as well. And also because it is now, everything's getting real.
Yeah.
So then they're in the cafeteria and there's a cameo from Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yes.
Which was wild. Freddie Prinze Jr. spoke about this, and he and Sarah Michelle Gellar were dating at the time. Obviously they're married now. They've been married for 20 years.
Yeah.
I love them as a couple. They're so cute together. They met on the set of I Know What You Did Last Summer, I believe. Oh, okay. And they kind of fell in love from there. And the school that they shot She's All That in is actually the school that they shot Buffy in as well. So she was on the other side of the lot on this day. And he said that there was a dance scene coming up. Now, I don't know which exact one he was talking about, but he got a message across the lot in the studio to her people saying like, oh, do you want to come over and just like,
just be in,
be here and like be my emotional support for the day. And then she came over and they were like, yeah, just like sit in this. Yeah. And I swear to God, I recognize her outfit that she's wearing from a fucking Buffy episode, unless I'm having a Mandela effect. So she stole the movie for me because I just love her so much. I have such a big fucking crush on her. She's so gorgeous.
I think she said she would only be in it though if she had no lines. So something like that. I was like, yeah, I think I'll be in it, but I won't.
And she didn't have any lines. No, she just handed her plate to Simon. Stole the show. God, the power of her. Now, this cafeteria has a scene which is just the fucking worst scene in the whole. Like, I get why they did it, but I did not want to see it. So Simon is there for some reason going around on roller skates, cracking black pepper onto people's lunches.
Onto what? Like, which was, sloppy joes?
I have no idea. You know,
hot dogs? What?
Yeah. Like, hot dog and black pepper, please.
Guess not.
And these bullies start picking on him to try and make him eat a pizza that they put pubes on.
Like, this now, is Zach like comes in. Fucking
this
scene.
Is so fucking disgusting. I actually put my fingers up in front of my eyes. I was like, I'm in my 30s. I don't need to see this. And I can do whatever I want. I'm an adult now and I don't have to watch this.
That scene is up there with the Kevin and Perry pimple popping scene.
Bye. I don't even know. Not talking about it. Absolutely not.
If you know, you know.
Yeah. And if you know, I'm sorry for making you relive that. So they try to make him eat this pizza that has pubes on it. But Zach comes in and stands up for Simon and he makes the bullies eat the pube pizza. And this is how I know that I'm 35, because I wanted to be sick in my mouth. I was just like, no, you're absolutely fine. So Lainey sees this and she's like, cool. Like, you know, obviously like a profound, like, wow, he's got depth to him and he'll stand up for my brother and all this kind of stuff.
He says, Hoover it. But the way he says Hoover it, like, it's like a Hoover it. Yeah, like really like... Yeah, I know, like when you kind of go down, like, ooh, ooh. And yeah, and he's like Hoovered, and I thought that always stuck out my head because he I kind of expected, you know, Hoover it would be,
oh yeah,
like just suck it up,
yeah. Kind of but thing. The weird thing was the first bully; it was the first bully's pubes that were on it.
Shermanator as well,
the Shermanator, yeah. If you've watched American Pie, the Shermanator. But the second bully is like, guess I gotta eat it. This is like when people have someone screaming at them at their front door and they just stand there. I'm like, bitch, it's your house. Just close the fucking door on their face. Like, and if they try and get in, you're in America. You can shoot them. It's trespassing. You're meant to be a bully, like, not a pussy. Come on.
Bullies are cowards.
Cowards. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we cut then to Dean showing up at Lainey's job and asking her to prom. Mm. And she rebuffs him. Mm-hmm. And he leads her to believe that Zach might still have feelings for Taylor. So this plants like the seeds of doubt in her mind. And obviously she's like, well, he didn't want to kiss me. So like, what's going on there? So she's confused anyway. And then we're back with Zach. His dad finds his college acceptance letters. And this argument where his dad is saying like, listen, I know it comes across this way. I didn't mean that for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I just wanted you to have like every opportunity or whatever. Again, I'm just seeing two full grown men. It's like me being in my office and seeing two of the fellas talking about a file. Like, yeah. It's just two full grown men just having a conversation. I was like, there's no fucking way you're 17. Like,
yeah.
So Zach stands up to his dad and just tells him, like, I don't want your dreams. Mm-hmm. I want mine. I want to make my own way in the world. We're back at school and there's a there's a standoff in the school halls between Taylor and Lainey.
They're all there with their swag bags. Like, Taylor's giving out lattes. Or whatever else it is. I saw this. There was people coming along with all their signs, right? And they were getting it. And they were putting them up because now this is like, we're going with this now.
Yeah, it's Trump's campaign.
Lainey is fine. So there's like, Jesse's telling people where to go with their posters and whatever. So he's like, hygiene squad. Yeah, no problem. In the gymnasium.
Hygiene then he's like, squad.
Yeah, then he's like, gay club. Okay, no problem. Put it there. Then he goes, and you can see it on the sign, oppressed prisoners club. Oppressed prisoners club. What fucking 70? I know we had the peace and justice group.
Yeah,
we and did, that was
yeah.
fine. But it wasn't specifically oppressed prisoners club.
I like will put a photo of this up on the Instagram. And if you are from America, please tell us, did you have an oppressed prisoners club?
I just thought that was so funny. He was like directing all these people to put their signs. And I was like, what the fuck kind of extracurricular activities is going on in this school? I don't know what the hygiene club is,
yeah.
Hygiene squad, actually.
So Taylor points out to Zach that Lainey and Dean are getting pretty close. Mm. And when Zach confronts Dean, the bet is then revealed. Rash. And we get the one... fuck word yes. in this movie where she's like, am I a bet? Am I a bet? Am I a fucking bet? Iconic.
Yes.
Iconic. And she storms off. I watched an interview with Rachel Lee Cook and she said that one of her favourite moments from shooting this film was watching Freddie Prinze Jr. in that scene mm-hmm. because he doesn't instantly... I was watching it and I was like, why aren't you shouting back? Like, you know, this is on the other. But she said she was watching him and she could see that he was doing it as in like he was finally processing the weight of what he'd just done.
Yeah.
Giving him another layer, which I'm fully okay with. So
Dean,
she's
not at all phased.
Huh?
Dean not at
oh,
all phased.
Oh, no, he doesn't have feelings, no, Lindsay. No. He doesn't have emotions. No, he doesn't feel just... anything. God. So she storms off and Zach spends the next day trying to call her while the sad song is playing on the radio, mm-hmm. but like over the soundtrack. But she will not answer. She's like, nope, I've had enough.
Don't know.
We then get the emotional talk from Lainey's dad, where he tells her she just reminds him so much of his mother, and he encourages her to go to the prom and says there's a really handsome guy standing upstairs ready to take you. And she goes upstairs and it's Dean.
It is Dean. Yuck.
And for some reason, she's so dickmatized by him.
Yeah, but hoping, because he did promise her, can I just say, when he asked her in the, like, at a workplace to go, and he said, I think we could have an okay time.
Like, isn't that just what we all want? I just want TJ to bend down on one knee and be like, Sarah, I want to spend an okay life together. Yeah. Will you take this ring and just be okay with me? And I'm like, yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. In the interview with Rachel Lynn Cook that I watched as well, she was talking about Paul Walker and reminiscing on what an actual really good actor he is. Everyone remembers him from the Fast and the Furious, but he is an incredible actor. Mm-hmm. And she references this scene where he gives this little speech about how, like, he knows that, you know, she might have reservations, but he is there and he wants to take her. And to me, it did come across as very, like, sentimental and very well acted. And she said that when he finished that scene and the director yelled cut, one of the cameramen turned around and said, Jesus, even I believe that.
Yeah.
And I was like, and she said, that's all you want is for one of the cameramen to be like, wow, yeah, I believe it. Yeah, yeah. I'd fucking go to the prom with them as well. So I thought that was nice that she remembers him so well. And he looked great in the suit as well. That blonde hair.
It's time for her to get ready.
Yeah.
Apparently she could do it, like, really quickly. It took me a day of hair and makeup appointments and nails and fucking everything and to get ready for the dibs.
Oh my god, but I look back on my pictures now. I spent about 2 hours curling my hair and then put so much hairspray in it, none of the curls actually moved. It was like
it kind of like drop a little bit.
No, it was like a Lego wig of curls. It was absolutely rock solid. God. It started raining later on in the night and everyone got drenched and my hair stayed the exact same. It was disgusting.
But that was the style at the time.
2006, baby!
It
was not the style at the time, but I did it anyway. I just learned what a curling tongue was.
Well, apparently she was able to do like a French chignon.
And it wasn't Mackenzie doing it, because Mackenzie was getting ready to go with her brother.
Yeah.
And then Taylor was left on her own.
So unless he arrived there at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, ready to kind of bring her and kind of go.
It was absolutely nighttime, like, you know. But then again, when you're actually fucking beautiful and not a goddamn ugly duckling, it's not that hard to make yourself looking well.
Oh, thank you.
We then have my personal favourite scene in the whole entire movie. Mm-hmm. There's iconic scenes, there's most recognised scenes. This is my favourite scene, which is we cut to the dance, Usher is there and he tells everyone, now we're all going to do this dance that I taught you. And they all do school-wide synchronized dance.
I'm sorry.
To Right About Now, Funk's Old Brother, Check It Out Now, by fucking Fatboy Slim.
Epic.
Everybody has this question about this scene of how did everybody know the dance? And I'm going to give y'all the tea behind what this story was. Okay. So, the director Robert Iscove, is a choreographer in real life, and he wanted to expand and embellish the prom scenes and show the Weinstein brothers how musical numbers can actually like work and be incorporated into films.
Okay.
So he added the scene without Usher, of just all of them dancing, and then then you get the couples that you know are like real dance. He added in that scene and test audiences did not understand what was going on. They were like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
How does everyone know this dance? And Bob Weinstein asked for a reshoot.
Okay.
With Usher there to tie it all in together.
Okay.
So that's why Usher is there. He actually wasn't, if you look at the...
It's supposed to be...
Yeah, he's added in afterwards and be like, hey guys, let's all do this dance that I taught you. Yeah. So that's how everyone knows the kind of the 4 or 5 main moves, including our main characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, now dance club, show us what you got. Oh. And that's when like all the real fucking choreography is happening.
Totally missed the dance
club. Kind of so I think everybody in the school knew the first like 4 or 5 moves. Oh, but then the dance shakes. Club really start fucking bopping and jiving. And... All right, dance club, let me see what you got. I love this song. I love that album, that Fatboy Slim album, You've Come a Long Way, Baby. Yes. There is just so many fucking bangers on that album. So I love this. And I found out as well, Adam Shankman was the choreographer for this scene. He actually ended up becoming really close with Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar, and he ended up marrying them. He was the officiant at their wedding. Okay. But he ended up actually becoming a really big director after this. Oh. And he went on to make the following movies, amongst others. The Wedding Planner, A Walk to Remember, Bringing Down the House, Cheaper by the Dozen 2, Hairspray,
oh, right.
Rock of Ages,
yes.
Disenchanted, and Hocus Pocus 2.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. You can't win them all.
So they do their little dance, and Lainey's art teacher comes up to her and tells her that her final piece about her mother is actually amazing, and whatever it is that has come into her life and like opened her up, she really should hold on to it. So yeah. Lainey starts to kind of, you know, see Zach across the way, and she starts to pine a little bit, and Dean is in the bathroom bragging about how he's gonna bed Lainey and he's got she this hotel asshole, room yeah. And actually, like, everyone just walks out, everyone's like, no one gives a shit. Yeah. And I'm like, this man's gonna issues, have some criminal yeah. charges in the future now, and something yeah. tells me he's gonna fucking get away with them as well, as they always do.
Oh yeah, but thank God.
But thank Christ, hiding in the stalls, not hiding, probably just taking a giant dump, was Jesse, her best friend Jesse. And he runs out to Mackenzie.
Why not just find Lainey?
Yeah.
Come out of the bathroom, go straight to Lainey. Yeah. I'm sure she'd be okay with talking to you.
Yeah, she'd probably be more receptive to me than to Zach. Like, this is what I call the Keenan and Kel complex, mm-hmm. which is the reason why I could never watch Keenan and Kel when I was so young, because sometimes what they would do is so stupid and so unrealistic that it would infuriate me.
My son has a huge issue with watching things like that.
Oh my God.
He would get up and walk out of the room.
Zach is named prom king and Taylor is then named prom queen. Mm-hmm. Lainey looks a little bit like, oh wow, I thought I was actually in with a chance for a second. But then Dean suggests to her, like, listen, will we just leave? And she's like, yeah, let's get out of here. And they're about to leave. Jesse finally makes it up to the stage with Mackenzie to tell Zach what's happened. And Zach then rushes off to try and catch them. Now they've, even though only about 10 seconds yeah. seems to be in between when they left and when she was told, he gets in the car and speeds off after him.
Yeah.
So he knows where they're going because Jesse has told him.
Yes.
But he speeds off in the car to try and chase them.
Leaving Taylor in her mid-abuse tirade on all this. They just turned down the volume. Also, yeah, just for you, those that didn't vote for me
yeah.
when she was about to. Actually, did you notice when Zach was getting his crown, the female, like, the older, like, lady female teacher came over and she, like, dragged his face and was just trying to, like, kiss him on his cheek.
I didn't notice that. Yes. Oh,
man. He's like, all right, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Lainey walks in her front door and her father and brother are there. And then they move a little bit to the side and she realises that Zach is standing in the living room as well. So, obviously, he couldn't find her. He went straight back to the house. He was so worried about her. So Lainey tells him that, like a boss, she had a fucking foghorn alarm, yes. a foghorn alarm in her fucking purse.
Yeah.
Like an absolute perfect queen. Mm-hmm. Even when you think you're safe, it's always okay to continue to stay safe, yeah. you know, make yourself okay. And she's basically made Dean deaf,
yeah.
which is a good thing. So Zach pours his heart out to her.
Yes.
And tells him how she's changed him and she's his best friend, even though I feel like they have not spent that much time together.
I don't think they know that
we didn't
much
get like a montage of scenes where they were on dates. I feel like the movie laid out that they were a set amount of very small dates and yes. that was it. So whatever. He asks her to dance and there's no music on, which is
me.
Obviously bugged. There's music in the background shit. Of the movie, but you know in real life there's no dancing.
No.
Every once a year, I'll just turn around to TJ and be like, let's dance. And then after 10 seconds, I'm like, this is embarrassing. This is actually embarrassing. Why are we doing this? You know, you get this notion in your head of like, you know, I might have something playing in the background and be like, come here and dance. And after 10 seconds, I'm like, this is fucking shit.
He will not stand for that shit. He will not. If I try, we won't even dance at a wedding. He's just one of those, no thanks.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Right. Dance with your children.
Oh, so they have a little dance and her father has set up all these twinkle lights and they come on. They have their kiss and Lainey asks him, what were the terms of the bet if he lost? Yes. So we then have this extra little mm-hmm. scene and it turns out there were some
terms
at the graduation. It's going through the line of everybody going up to get their stuff fully naked except for the hat, the sash and a football covering his dick and balls. Yeah. He gets up on stage. We don't see that part, but we do see Lainey catching the ball that was thrown to her. Yes. So now I'm wondering, is his full dick out in front of everybody, or maybe or he has it covered? Or is the
sash pinned in a certain place? I don't know, but either way, whoever's behind him, that teacher that tried to kiss him at like the crowning thing, is having a like time yeah. of fucking life, whatever, you know. So
either that, or you know. Maybe he is packing something. Maybe he does have big dick energy. He didn't he didn't give me big dick energy in this movie, to be honest. So.
No.
I didn't get big dick energy off him, but maybe he's absolutely packing a langer. And that is the end of the movie. My thoughts on this one, I know we were talking about like makeovers and things like that. By the end of this movie, I was like, I feel like Lainey is just going to go back to being herself. I feel like she came into this movie, she had a really strong sense of self. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's who she's going to go back to being. Maybe she mightn't wear the glasses.
No, I don't know. But that's it.
I think who actually got made over was Zach internally.
Yeah.
I think he ended up getting the makeover because he was obviously a little bit shallow and, you know, he didn't know who he was and all this kind of stuff. And then he met her and then she transformed him and was like, listen, it's okay to not know everything.
Yeah.
It's okay to be nice to people. Yeah. You know, it's okay to this
and the other. Your parents want to follow your path kind of thing.
Absolutely. So I think that she ended up giving him the makeover. So maybe she's got big dick energy. And that concludes our plot segment of this podcast. Lindsay, what did you think of this film?
Oh, I could not like it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was just, this had everything for me.
Yeah.
It had like the theme song, like Sixpence None the Richer. This, that was just, that stayed with me.
Excellent soundtrack.
Literally for years. So much so that like I did want it on my playlist for the wedding. It had the guy.
It did.
It had the girl.
Hot.
It had, you know, it had the love story, but it had the, you know, the, I don't know. What's the word? Not the transformation, but the realization.
Yes.
You know, and
just the realizing stuff.
Yeah, the bit of the epiphany that you're not supposed to kind of go, like, follow this certain path. And, you know, and maybe that people from different, like, cliques in school can be friends.
Yeah, also like that cliques are fucking stupid.
Yeah. And it's not as, it hasn't aged badly.
Correct.
There's a few stuff that you kind of go, not great. But it's not one of those that you kind of go, I used to love that and now I can't love it because it's bad. You can still love this movie. It's brilliant.
This was not on the original list that I had for best bad movies. It just didn't come into my mind. I think I was so, I had a lot of movies in my mind that were like action movies and kind of like maybe a couple of horror movies and old school movies or whatever. But I forgot about like just good teen movies. And I was really surprised that this one pretty much qualified being a 50%. So I was going into this movie being like, oh God, what's this going to be like now? Will I actually like it if I didn't remember it in the first place? I actually did really enjoy this movie. I enjoyed watching it. I was smiling by the end of it. I thought that for a teen movie, it was quite good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it had its own little voice, which I was fully on board with. I was like, yeah, there's bits in here that I haven't seen in other teen movies.
Yeah. It's not teen. Like, you're not Lizzie McGuire teen.
Correct.
So it's kind of a little bit older, which I kind of liked. Mm. You know, I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't through Lizzie McGuire. Like,
again. Yeah. Like, I feel like me and TJ could sit down and watch this and that he wouldn't walk out in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he would, but, you know, if he was hungover and tired, I feel like he'd sit through the whole thing, which is fine. But I thought that, like, the script was good. I thought there was good jokes in there. I liked the characters. Even the characters that I was meant to dislike, I wasn't, like, repulsed by them or anything like that. And, I just thought there was some good moments in it. And this is a movie that, like, I would recommend to people. So I surprised myself. By enjoying it.
I like this for like a Sunday afternoon, like a shitty, like to say, shitty Sunday afternoon, bank holiday Monday, when you're just munching and you just want something kind of just comforting to
watch. Comforting, something light.
Yeah.
Don't have to think too hard about it.
No.
Yes, there's a lesson in it, but my God, like, it's not going to be a lesson that's absolutely fucking shoved down your throat. Like, you know, and then when you look into it a little bit deeper, there is actually little deep moments in there, which you might miss the first time, and it's okay if you do, but there is like a bit of heart in there, which is good. And obviously, it's got the nostalgia factor as well. If you were going to re-rate this for Metacritic, what rating would you give this? So it currently has the critic score of 51% on Metacritic. What rating would you give this out of 100?
I would probably give this like a high 60s.
I thought the exact same. I said 70.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of thought, I don't think I can kind of go above 70 because... Okay, look, you're kind of the little kind of fat shaming things and the fungus thing and, you know,
It's also not something that I'm like excited. Like, no. I'll watch it and I'll be like, oh my God, yeah, watch. Remember this? But I'm not like, you know, oh, I can't fucking wait to watch this. If I had to walk out
halfway through and go to the shop or something, or Lee said to me, like, you know, we have to go, mm-hmm. I'm totally fine with that.
Yes.
So I'm not like, I don't want to watch to the end or...
Yes.
So...
We watched The Rock last night for the first time. Me and TJ hadn't seen it. And it has Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage in it. I put down my phone specifically to like pay attention to it. I was really like into it. And it is amazing. And I won't be able to talk about it on this because I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that the score will be too high. I fucking better be. But I would be on my phone, which is all that in the background.
Oh, yeah.
But I would still, if someone was like, oh, just recommend like, you know, like a fun, stupid movie, I'd just be like, oh, yeah, she's all that. Like, it's kind of stupid, yeah. But then there's probably other ones that I'd recommend over it, like 10 Things I Hate About You, because it's got Heath Ledger in it, who, while Freddie Prinze Jr. is so cute, Heath Ledger is a sexual awakening. Like, he's just like, oh, I'm feeling things.
I would have put, though, She's All That. I don't know whether it's because, like, being, like, 2 years older than you, I was kind of feeling more like, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr. looked older, and Paul Walker looked older, and as opposed to Heath Ledger and
Joseph Gordon-Levitt looked young in the movie. That's so at the time, I fancied Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and now watching it, I'm like, oh, Heath Ledger is
2 years of the difference. I was kind of like swayed more with the older looking guys,
and it always reminds me of like Lord of the Rings, when all the young girls would want Legolas, but then all the women would be like Aragorn, Viggo Mortensen.
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah,
who I recently saw in Eastern Promises, and he still held up. He really did. It was a scene where he was fully fighting naked in the shower, and I was like, oh, maybe.
Well, there you go now.
Yeah, got all the Russian tatties on him. Also, great movie, Eastern Promises. Very good movie. Quite violent, but very good. Awesome. Yeah. And another perfect example of an excellent accent done by Viggo Mortensen. He does a Russian accent. Ooh. He does it very, very well.
Okay.
Very well. Yeah, 100%. So, Lindsay, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. I really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun.
I think this is probably the longest one that you've done. Either you're going to have some like serious amount of editing.
Yeah.
And like people are going to be missing out on loads of plot points because we've talked about everything. But
But that's why it's my podcast and I get to do whatever I want. Yeah. If you've made it to the end.
Congratulations.
Girl, fair play. Thank you so much for joining me. This really was fun. It wouldn't have been the same if I was doing this with TJ. Like, you have to have just been in that scene at that time to know what it was, what the impact was. So I really appreciate you coming on and talking to me about this. Loved Thanks it. So much.
Okay.
That's all for today. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's podcast. I hope to have another podcast up in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to give you a little sneak peek. It's going to be me and Teej back again talking about the 2017 remake of The Mummy, with Tom Cruise playing the world's most heterosexual man. He absolutely can last more than 15 seconds and he's going to let you fucking know about it. So tune in for that coming up in the next few weeks. And have a great day. Bye.